Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bible with you, or open the app on your phone. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is where we'll start in just a minute. And sing this song with me if you know it.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Okay, what did we just ask God to do for us? Renew a right spirit within me, right? Create in me a clean heart, O God. This song that Nathaniel Thomas taught us in this last year comes right out of Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12, where David is asking God, create in me a clean heart. He's guilty of sin, and he's asking God to give him a new heart and a right spirit. We're basically saying to God, don't leave me the same way as I've been. Make me new. And when we come to God through Jesus, the goodness of God at that moment is that God does not leave us the same as we were before we came to him. He transforms us from the inside out. Someone has said that God loves us just the way we are, and far too much to leave us that way. Have you ever seen that TV show, Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Anybody remember that? I saw it a few times. Yeah. It was on ABC until, I think, 2012, and then they took it off. They would always choose a worthy family that some viewer had told them about and that had some kind of hardship. Maybe they lost a family member or a family member was disabled in some way. And they'd check on the house, and the house was run down, it's beaten up, it wasn't meeting the needs of the family. And so they would come in, and they would surprise the family one morning, and they'd say, we're sending you on a 7-day vacation, and we are going to tear down your house and totally rebuild it and make it brand new. And you're going to love it. 7 days to rip down and rebuild everything. And then at the end of the week, the family would come home. They'd bring them in a limousine, pull up right behind the great big show bus that was blocking their view of their new house. Everybody would get out of the car and line up. And then they would drive the bus away, and the family would see their new house for the first time. And everything was new, more spacious, expertly designed, colorful, high-quality materials. Suddenly that house would be the envy of the whole neighborhood. And that is what God does with us. Out with the old, in with the new. Total transformation. Extreme Makeover, Soul Edition. So Paul writes about this transformation in our next section of his letter to the Ephesians. We've been studying through Ephesians. We're in the middle of chapter 4 now. So let's pick up chapter 4, verse 17. And Paul says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you hear the extreme makeover language here? Out with the old, in with the new. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Using that term Gentiles, which just means non-Jews, or sometimes it means all the nations. Paul's using that word here in the sense of people who, unlike the Jews, have never known God. They worship idols. They do evil. They don't know how to live because they don't know God. Paul says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God. They're ignorant, hard-hearted, self-indulgent, impure, full of greed. Paul says, you must no longer live this way. You used to live this way, but no longer. When you came to Christ, you were taught to put off your old self and to be made new, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So a complete change. The old self gone, replaced by the new. The old house is completely torn down, down to its frame, maybe even down to its foundation. The whole thing is built new from the ground up. So I pulled up an episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition online the other day just to refresh my memory, see what it was like again. And there was this moment when the family was away on vacation somewhere in Southern California. And they're sitting together in a hot tub while back home, who knows what's happening to their house. And the producers brought in a monitor and showed them, here's what's happening to your house back home. And they saw the highlights from that day. Walls being violently torn out, sliding glass doors smashed to bits with sledgehammers, the whole kitchen being ripped apart. And on camera, the family all sitting together in the hot tub handled that pretty well, but I couldn't help but wonder how they felt off camera. This was the home they had known for years. I mean, they had memories that went with that wall, that door, that kitchen. And all those things were being torn apart. And so when we hear Paul, and through him, God, say to us, okay, here's how you used to live, but now I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live this way. We're going to tear your old life out and make it new. Well, that can be a scary proposition. It's like we walk up to that old rundown house and we say, house, have we got an offer for you? We're going to bring our crew in and we're going to make you so beautiful. You will just shine. New on the inside, new on the outside. Your residents are going to love you. You will be their pride and joy. They will be so happy here. And the house says, that's great. What do you have in mind? And we start talking about how the carpentry crew is going to come in and they're going to demolish this wall and it has to go and the kitchen has to be completely replaced and all these windows, they've got to be replaced because they're broken and they don't hold out the cold in the winter. The whole yard's going to be remade. Every bedroom will be redesigned and the house backs up and says, hold on a second, I like my windows. I've had this kitchen all my life. We hear Paul use this language of putting off the old self and putting on the new self, total renewal. And when we get what he's saying, it's a bit frightening. Do we really want to go through all this change, not knowing who we will become on the other side? How do we know we can trust God with something as precious as our very identity, our very lives? What was so bad about the way we were? Is this transformation God calls us to really worth it? In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 44, there's this picture that Isaiah paints of a carpenter who cuts down a tree and he takes the wood from it and part of it he very carefully carves out as a god, as an idol. And he sets it up and he bows down and he worships it. And then the other part of the wood, he takes and he puts it in the fire and he burns it and he cooks his bread and his meat over it. And so with half of the wood, he cooks his food, and he cooks his bread and meat, and then with the other half, he prays to it, and he says, "Save me, you are my God." And Isaiah asks, how is it that no one stops to think, half of it I used for fuel, I even baked bread over its coals, I roasted meat, and I ate. Shall I bow down to what is left, a block of wood? And Isaiah asks why this person's heart deludes him, why he can't say, is not this thing, this idol in my right hand, a lie? How come nobody gets it? But people do that. They still today in some nations, and sometimes in our nation, craft an idol and then worship it. The book of Proverbs has all kinds of proverbs about the things people do that are self-destructive and are bad for everyone else too. Chapter 7, for example, talks about a young man who is seduced by an adulterous woman. He never thought about the consequences of his actions. And Proverbs says, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Okay, what God rescues us from when he makes us new is what Paul refers to as a darkened understanding. It's the inability to discern right from wrong. It's being unable to perceive the consequences of our actions in advance. We get consumed by our own sensuality, our own impurity, our greed, our own deceitful desires, and we do things that destroy us and that harm the people around us. It's like when you used to lie and no one trusted you, and it made you so angry that nobody trusted you. I mean, go figure, right? Or it's like when you used to steal and then you got caught and you had to pay the penalty for your actions, and you kept asking yourself, why did I do something so dumb? Or it's like when you were so full of bitterness and rage, and the more you took it out on people, the worse you felt about yourself, and the more the relationships that you valued crumbled. That house we used to live in, the Lord sees all of its problems. He sees all the places where the walls are cracking, the ceiling's starting to cave in. We may be used to it. We've lived in it so long, but the Lord wants better for us. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And so the Lord requires that we work with him to tear down that old house and build an entirely new house. To, as Paul said it, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Sing this song with me if you know it.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
As we come to God, he opens our eyes to see how our old house is falling apart. And we ask him to help us, to change us. Listen to that last line again. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. That's exactly what Paul is talking about in verse 24 when he says, put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We used to be separated from the life of God, insensitive, self-deluded, but God is stripping all of that away and giving us new doors and new windows, a whole new kitchen, beautiful and excellent in every way. He's creating us anew to be like Him. Just as we sang, may I be like you. You know, on Extreme Makeover Home Edition, outsiders come in and they transform a home that someone else lives in, just as a gift, just to bless them and to make a good TV show. But with our transformation, it's more like God Himself bought this house that is us, and He's renovating the whole thing because He's moved in. He lives there now. Ephesians 2, 21, 22, we looked at this a few weeks ago, talking about Jews and Gentiles being one in Christ. Paul says, in Him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So when God tears the old out of us and installs the new, He's not renovating someone else's house. He's renovating His own house. God lives in us by His Spirit. Each one of us is His house. And He's rebuilding us from the inside out and from the ground up to make us a holy temple, a dwelling in which God lives. And so the way we used to live before we came to Christ has to change, because our residence have changed. Now the Holy Spirit of God has moved in and lives within us. And I'm not saying that we have to get ourselves right before we come to Christ so that God can move in. That's not how God does it. We can't transform ourselves without the help of God's Holy Spirit. And Paul's not saying we have to fix everything before God moves in. But now that we have come to God through Christ and God's Spirit lives in us, now God is ready to get to work renovating our lives. And so here's what needs to change. Here's kind of a sample of the kind of transformation that God wants to work in us. This is Ephesians 4 and verse 25, right where we left off. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Okay, this is kind of a sampling of the kind of transformation that God wants to work in us. It's obviously not a complete list of everything God wants to transform in our lives, from old to new, but it's a good starter list. So Paul talks about how we speak to others, going from falsehood to truthfulness, no more lying. He talks about how we manage our anger. Don't sin. Don't stay angry. He talks about how we support ourselves. Don't steal. but work. And then you'll be able to help others with what you bring in. He talks about how we talk. Nothing unwholesome coming from your mouth. So guard what you say. No bad language, no coarse joking, but only let come out of your mouth what builds others up. He says, get rid of bitterness and rage and anger, brawling, slander, which is like gossip, malice, replacing all of this with kindness, compassion, forgiveness, getting rid of all sexual immorality and impurity and greed, because Paul says these are improper for God's holy people. So we'll look at this passage in more detail next week, but notice the warning that Paul gives here. These kinds of sinful behaviors that he mentions here are improper for God's holy people. They're out of place, he says. He says a person who does such things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So in other words, if you let these rotten walls and broken windows stay in your house, which is God's house now because he's moved in, and if you say, no, don't change that one. No, I want to keep that broken window. I like that cracked wall. If you let them stay, God will move out. You may have been baptized decades ago. You may have never missed a Sunday worship service in your life. But if you refuse to let God change your life, and you're not at least working with him, you can actually lose your salvation. God may move out. Now, God doesn't usually transform us overnight. He doesn't renovate the whole house in a day. This is a process. He knows it's difficult for us sometimes. He's very patient with us. But if we're not at least trying to work with him to rip out those old walls, that smelly carpet, replace that fire hazard electrical wiring, God may get fed up and say, I can't live here anymore. And if he moves out, we may lose, as Paul puts it, our inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So this is very serious stuff. But it's also very good. It's hope. And it's a blessing. God, as he transforms us, is bringing us life and light. Here's the last part of our text this morning, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. We're going to make all these changes because you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You were darkness, but now you are light. I checked the Greek. You know, Paul wrote his letters in the New Testament in the Greek language. So I checked it just to see what it said. And Paul does not say there, you lived in darkness. He says, you were darkness. But in Christ you have been transformed. You are now light in the Lord. So Paul says, live as children of light. There's a biblical sense, as we've already seen, in which we are God's house, his holy temple. And God is building us up together to be his house. But there's an even greater sense in which we are not just his house, but we are his children adopted into his family. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God adopted us into his family. We're his children, and he is our excellent father. We came from a rough background, full of darkness, where we did evil because that was the only life we knew. But through Christ, God adopted us as his own children, gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, and called us who were darkness to become light in the Lord and to live now as children of light. We have a new life in God, a new identity as his children. And so he calls us to a new kind of behavior, the fruit of which, Paul says, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Things that are not easy, that do not always come naturally to us. But they're the kinds of things that God is all about. They are traits of light in our lives. And so Paul says, don't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Fruitless because in the end they do us no good. They only separate us from God. They bring us harm. They bring harm to others. But rather expose such deeds, he says, which are shameful even to talk about. But you come into the light. Let God's light expose everything in your house that needs to be torn out and replaced or rebuilt. Take a lantern through. Shine the flashlight on the walls. Look at everything and find what needs to be replaced and rebuilt. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, Paul says. And once you see it, you and God can work on it. The anger, the lying, the bitterness, the foolish talk, you and God can work on it. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light, Paul says. God doesn't just give us light, but by his light, by its mere presence, he makes us a light so that Jesus could say once, you are the light of the world. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live that light. Be that light. You were dead, but now you're alive in Christ. Paul wrote in chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And then he says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So you were dead in your sins, but all of us have been there. We all were dead in our sins. Then he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. We were dead and maybe didn't even know it. Or maybe we knew it all too well. But when we came to Christ, God made us alive. He brought us from darkness to light. We were darkness, but God adopted us into his family. He took us as his house and he moved in. He started tearing stuff down and replacing it. He made us light. And so now have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but be transformed by God. Let him do his glorious renovation inside you. Be a light. Live as children of light. Because God took you when you were dead and he loved you. And he adopted you, and he gave you life. And I love the way Paul closes out our text this morning, this last verse, verse 14. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This line has a different feel to it than everything else Paul writes. And a lot of scholars think Paul was quoting from an early Christian hymn here that maybe they sang this in church. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the story of our salvation in a nutshell, and our lesson this morning in one line. Before we came to God through Christ, we were darkness, we were asleep, dead, foolish, lost, doing things that we are ashamed of now. But God adopted us, made us his house, took us to be his children, shined his light, the light of Christ, on us, made us light in the Lord and children of light. This is our story. This is our extreme makeover in the most profound way. And if this is your story, then I encourage you to just go and live it this week. Put off your old self. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I know that's not going to happen all at once, but let God work on you step by step. Just pick one thing this week. Work on that with the Lord. Out with the old, in with the new. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. And whatever pleases the Lord, do that. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. May God bless you. Let's pray. We pray, dear God, that you would just move into our houses all the way, and that you would completely adopt us as your children. And as we come to you, dear God, would you make those changes in our lives that you need to make? Just one step at a time, or however many steps we can handle at a time. And by the power of your Spirit who lives within us, and by your word that guides us and encourages us, would you make the changes that you want to make in us? Because we want to be your house. We want your Spirit to live within us. And we want him to be so pleased with the place he lives. So we pray for your blessing. Make us new, dear God. Take away our death and give us life. Take away our darkness and give us light. May the light of Jesus Christ our Lord shine on us and more as we walk with you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Let's sing our invitation.